You're listening to Your Health live on the Essential Talk Network. I'm Pamela Clark, and today we're talking with Duncan McKinley and Kelly Haynes, the people that work with the Tourette Syndrome Foundation of Canada and both are Tourette. Duncan, you wanted to talk about the nicotine patch. Now, I was doing some reading about that, and this is the first good usage of nicotine that I've ever heard of.
Certainly. I guess to summarize, you know, good drug, too bad about the delivery, because people are, your nicotine can help Tourette's syndrome, and so you guys take up smoking. And so I thought I should probably take a second just to insert so that people know that actually smoking isn't indifferent. Basically, the idea of what's happening with the naive nicotine can catalyze the benefits of others, and what I mean by that is that it'll just make the others work a little bit more effective. Well, nicotine, it emulates one of the chemicals in the brain called acetylcholine. And I guess to keep it simple, basically acetylcholine causes more dopamine to be produced. And so if nicotine is masquerading as a choline, and then the brain's going to be tricked into making even more dopamine. Now, yesterday I mentioned how the more dopamine you have, the more movement, simplistically anyway. Think, well, this seems kind of backwards. How come nicotine works? The idea is if you have a nicotine patch and you're having this continuous over-flooding, you know, influx of nicotine, eventually those receptors will be producing more dopamine, but they won't be able to keep up. And eventually they'll overload, and you'll produce dopamine. So that's one of the reasons why smoking doesn't really make much of a difference, because for it to be at all effective, you need a pretty much continuous flow of nicotine, and smoking doesn't into the brain nearly that effectively. And the problem actually with even with patch is that at least 70% of people have pretty extreme as a side effect from using the patch. And so basically what nicotine is that, well, it does seem to have some benefit, but what they want now is finding ways of manufacturing new pharmaceutical drugs that will impact the nicotine, but will eliminate all the negative aspects of nicotine. So there's a drug by the name of ABT, for example. There's another drug called mecamylum that research right now so that people don't all think they should go out and start smoking to be that effective, and it's just going to cause all the problems that come along with smoking, you know, on top.
Okay, but there is possibility that nicotine will enhance the abilities of drugs to treat Tourette syndrome.
Exactly, but it maybe doesn't necessarily have to be nicotine. What we need is, what is it about nicotine? Drugs work better, and let's produce it in, you know, in mass quantities without using nicotine itself, because nicotine can have a lot of bad side effects. The other thing that I just wanted to mention briefly is, well, I'm curious about PANDAS. PANDAS stands for Pediatric Autoimmune Neuropsychiatric Disorders Associated with Streptococcal Infections. That's the big doctor babble. Basically what PANDAS is the idea that might trigger Tourette's syndrome.
Article in the medical
Exactly. And basically, what the thinking is with this is really that it's a genetic inheritance. But in this case, what they think the genetic load is that a person, when they are infected with a strep throat, a streptococcus, the antibodies that they produce, the group alpha, beta, the antibodies that are launched to that, not only attack the infection, attack areas of the brain. I was talking about the basal ganglia yesterday, Tourette's. You know, it's one of the areas thought to motor patterns of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you then attack the brain and either bind to that area of the brain or perhaps even destroy the tissue that to cause then the problems that are inherent in Tourette's syndrome. A lot of people then, what they want to do then is, which is plasma trans immune globulin, VIG is called. And these are very extensive sort of serious invasive techniques. Are done with the basic premise that, well, if it's awful floating around in our blood, we need to get rid of them. We need to get rid of the plasma, the way up to the brain and the strain. Now, good logic. There's not enough research yet to know whether this pandas even exists. It's still really in the preliminary stages, and what they're finding is that some people have these antibodies floating around in them, and other people have Tourette's in them, but they don't have these antibodies floating around. And they're also finding that the level of antibodies doesn't equal to, like, if you've got a ton of these antibodies, you'd expect a ton of ticks, and if you've got a few of these antibodies, you'd expect a few ticks. And that's not panning out. Lots and lots of questions about whether this whole strep throat triggered Tourette's or even exists. So basically the National Institute of Mental Health and the Tourette's have joined a quote that says that research in the pandas is still very experimental and there's no evidence of benefits given that the treatments that people are so serious you're in a research trial. Because it's entirely possible, some people have suggested, that all that's happened is that when you've got sick, and when you're sick, that's stressful. And I mentioned yesterday that stress makes, so maybe all you're seeing is what doctors call a knock, which means that any time you're stressed, your tics are going to be worse, and strep throat is just happens to be one of those times. There's also all sorts of different reports are coming up now, not only about the strep throat, but some people are wondering if viruses could be causing Tourette's in them. I mentioned pandas. There's another thing called PITAN, which is pediatric infection-triggered autoimmune neurostimulators. Some people are now doing some research on these, perhaps that Lyme disease presents as Tourette's in them. So there's a whole whack of stuff that is not confirmed by any means yet. It could be pretty dangerous to engage in any treatments, assuming that this stuff is true. When so I just expert make sure I address that right now, and money shouldn't all go for plasma exchange or just take up smoking next week.
Well, very excellent summary, but if I might sum it up in one sentence, they don't have any clue, do they?
They've got clues, they just
don't have. Well, that was an awful lot of theories, and it was like they're coming all from all of, and just like, well, I think there's still a long ways to go before they find out what makes it tick.
Well, that's the impression that you've got, but yeah, there's nothing definite.
Okay. Now, Duncan, I'm going to put you to work, and we've got to end.
I promise I will now.
Okay. Kelly, you're more than at any time to and help us get through these postings. We've got a second one from Rob. He posted one yesterday. Rob from Vancouver, and he put a similar one up again today. Today he says, I've got a couple of questions. I noticed on the show yesterday that you actually did some of the noises and ticks, rubbing them. Was that intentional, or is it possible there's a connection between thinking about an individual and it happening?
Absolutely. And sometimes I am just consciously in it, but also, as I mentioned yesterday, it's very much like an itch. The more you think about don't itch your, left arm, don't itch your left arm, the more and more your left arm is screaming at you. And so if I'm thinking specifically about particular, that's going to, in a sense, fuel that tick to occur. Once I had a tick that was very annoying, and the irony about Tourette's in them is you can't realize you've lost it. Think about the fact that you've lost your that tick, and it's back. Tick that I've forgotten about for a couple of days, and I had a roommate, very well-intentioned roommate, who was comfortable talking to me about my Tourette's in them, said, "Hey, congratulations, that tick you really hate, you finally got rid of." And I just launched across the room at his throat because, of course, the tick was immediately back. The other thing that some of your listeners may have noticed, too, is that when I'm yapping on, I don't tend to tick much. But as soon as I stopped to listen to a question or for a commercial break, I tend to tick quite a bit. That is because, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you can really channel a lot of this energy into a lot of positive stuff. But they mentioned it's almost like this extra neurological energy that needs a release valve. It needs to be unbraked, it's uncensored, and it just needs to come out. And that's really the only rule of the game. As long as it comes out, you're happy and your trust is happy. And so the more and more constructive ways you can put this energy into, the better you're both going to be. And so when I'm doing my presentation, when I'm on a radio show and I'm watching the time and glancing at my notes and thinking about what I'm going to say next, that's a very disinhibited task. So that takes a lot of simultaneous major demands on my brain all at the same time. And so it's not that I'm suppressing the tics when I'm doing all this talking. It's just that any energy that might be left over that would go into tics isn't left over. It's all being utilized into this massive task that I'm doing. And so, in a sense, I'm starving the tics for fuel.
Is that the same for you, Kelly? Jumping in here.
Right, no, well, my tics were so severe that I couldn't stay in a room with a bunch of people without just letting go. Now what I do is it's a little different. I get thought behind the tic, so I'll get a bad thought, or I'll see something that it makes me uncomfortable, and I'll punch the air. Now, I might not be ticking now, but when I get off the phone, I'll have a good little tick there. And
that's exactly my point.
You're very
busy right now, and so it's using the energy up. Dr. Doran, he's a medical doctor that's out in BC, and he finds when he does surgery, he doesn't tick. There's an artist by the name of Michael Wolf who plays jazz piano, and he talks about how his tick is channeled into the musical stream, that he doesn't tick when he's playing music. Sort of like you just said, when you're doing the radio show, you don't tick very much. A lot of people find that.
Yeah, and
we need to go to a short commercial break here.
Okay.
We'll be right back with more on what it's like to live with Tourette's right after the break. You're listening to Your Health. Please stay tuned.